Blog Talk Radio.
example from a story that I penned back around February 14th, 2011. The title of the story is The Man Who Would Be King. She's a local. It was a shame, they said, for a chick to go out that way. Head first in an alley, towards a dumpster. But that was the label they kept giving her when I asked neighbors about Lori Tunning's prison demise. She was just another tragic local. I hated daydreaming, but I often did at my partner, Max's Diner. I sat at my table near the pantry window overlooking the street and stared into my empty cup, remembering those times and the people who lived them. His name was Eric Tunning, but everyone called him the Burger King. Most folks in his gamer family simply called him King. Now, with another Thanksgiving approaching, King wanted to do something special. He was excited by the idea that this was the last turkey day of the 20th century. Being in a particularly festive mood, King had chosen this holiday to reunite with his family. Of course, this reunion he had in mind was far from being either uncomplicated or mutually desired by his family. But King, being the obtuse dreamer that he was, stubbornly proceeded with his plans and ignored all the bad omens and the naysayers. Some say King was a foolish old man, all sickly and caught up with reliving exaggerated past glories. I might have agreed with them, but after King's invitation to accompany him to his daughter's funeral, my opinion began to change. Having known King mostly through my patronage of his popular soul food diner, which was located in the Chatham district of Chicago's South Side, I had only been privy to the public side of the man. But what took place? Yes, what took place over the 72 hours surrounding this turkey day changed forever how I understood King, the nature of family bonds, and eventually my own descent into old age. I would never again look at an individual, regardless of power and powerlessness, with naive innocence. From that time onward, every time I saw a lonely old man struggling to maintain dignity, the fearful words, but by the grace of God go I, would ricochet through my mind like a wayward bullet. Being a middle-aged divorce reporter, I toyed with story ideas concerning the issue of how society cares for the elderly. So when King gave me the invite, I jumped at the chance. He told me to pick him up at his Southside apartment, located around South Jeffrey near 75th, at around 9 o'clock on Wednesday. That morning, as I cruised down 75th Street, I was struck by the sight of wayward souls wandering up and down the street. You know, drunks, sitting on the ground outside the multitude of booze stores. Young boys encircling big phones as if guarding the occasional female druggie, who was busily frantically trying to con some fool on the phone for a loan to pay off her ransom for overnight drug deals to local gangbangers. Homeless, young and old, folks were pushing shopping carts filled with discarded beer cans to market. The scenes made me wince and wonder about the madness of their lives. Pulling up to King's dilapidated apartment building, I was struck by the number of burglar bars, tossed garbage bags, and the dirt-filled yard it presented. The broken windows abounded on the face of the heap. As I entered the hall, after King had bussed me in, an exploding aroma of stale urine, marijuana, and booze made me choke. I nearly tripped over a rat carcass in an empty 40-ounce as I climbed the creaking stairway leading to King's home on the second floor. It wasn't easy trying to knock on a door encased in an 8-foot padlocked burglar gate. I wasn't sure he heard my knocks, but with the floor rocking from bass-driven thunder. The metallic clang of his walker seemed to keep up with the beat of what sounded like Nancy Wilson's "Guess Who I Saw Today," coming out of the cheap radio on his kitchen table, which was seated conveniently next to last night's Kentucky Fried Chicken box. "Hey, sport, let me bring the old lizard and I'll clear your fly," sang out King as he headed for his closet-sized toilet. I was struck by how orderly all the items in his home was, and how those items were placed. Every inch of the room served some final purpose, as if empty space was taboo. Even the four walls were covered with pictures. It made me think about those depictions of Catholic shrines, Sunday citations, war memorials, yellow news clippings all seemed to attest to King's past laurels. But they also told of a man living in the past. They spoke volumes about one who was fading away into the twilight zone of obsolescence. Existence. I glanced up into my own reflection, cast off a slightly cracked mirror with an unpolished surface. A cold chill ran over me as I thought about the lady from July. Apparently, I've broken up King's game of solitaire. I saw the cards. I'm amused on whether he would have won. What's important in the example and the excerpts that I've just read from the man who would be king would be to understand and visualize and sense the use of narrative devices, particularly those regarding setting. Setting which informs the reader as to possible character insights. Plotline and eventually insights into character motivation.
That concludes our episode for today. Please join us again for a new episode concerning creative expressions, creative writing, and therapeutic use of these expressions. My name is Jeff Massey, and I'm Poor Richard's son. Signing off, have a blessed one. And remember, family is always first.